Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're dissecting an episode from the Faith Beams GP podcast. It explores wholehearted pursuit through a spiritual lens, specifically looking at Psalm 119.2. Now, while this source gets into spiritual cleansing, seeking God with all your heart from, you know, a theological angle, our mission here is always to impartially pull out the core insights, the universal principles. And it got me thinking, in our, well, often distracted lives, what does it really mean to commit fully to anything? So we'll explore the source's view on this, its challenges, and the insights it offers.
Yeah, and what's particularly interesting about this source material is its tone. It's very peaceful, quite calm, compassionate, actually. And it has a really global reach, you know, that draws on experiences from Africa, South and Central America, the Caribbean, Europe, South Asia, quite broad. The podcast itself frames this whole idea, this wholehearted pursuit, as I think their words were, a divine invitation. But if you look past the specific language, the core idea is really an opportunity, isn't it? For anyone, regardless of background or belief, an opportunity to clear out that, you know, mental clutter, align your focus, and achieve what they term the blessing of a pure heart. And right at the center is Psalm 119.2. It says, "Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart." So we're going to try and unpack what seeking with all your heart truly implies, according to the source.
Okay, yeah, let's get into that. Seeking with all your heart. The source describes it as moving beyond just a casual glance to more of a focused gaze. Mm-hmm. As they put it, it's when God becomes more than just a part of your schedule. He becomes your center. Mm-hmm. Now, translating that for anyone, whatever their pursuit, this idea of all your heart, it seems to point directly to undivided loyalty. And what strikes me here is how universal that concept feels. I mean, whether you're, say, a startup founder or a top athlete or just pursuing a personal passion, the source implies that this divided loyalty is often the biggest block, a block to, well, real achievement and maybe even inner peace. It suggests peak performance, maybe in any field, might hinge on this single idea of wholehearted commitment.
Precisely. And the source also mentions keeping his statutes. It's important, I think, to see how they present this. It's not really framed as a demand for, like, rigid perfection. It's more about a daily commitment to progression. And that's a crucial difference, right? It effectively translates statutes into something like consistent, disciplined effort, you know, like sticking to a fitness routine or a learning schedule. Those small daily actions that build up. The broader promise they offer is that this spiritual cleansing, which you could understand it as a kind of profound inner clarity or purity of focus, that's the direct result when the pursuit is pure, is wholehearted.
That idea of clearing away distractions, mental and emotional ones, that's powerful. The source then poses this really insightful question using an analogy. It asks, if your heart was a house, what room have you been keeping locked away? That really hits home, doesn't it? This idea of hidden areas where our focus might be split or where we haven't fully committed. And we see this in the examples they share. Like there's Lucia, a 16-year-old from Colombia mentioned in the podcast. Apparently, she struggled quite a bit with anxiety, always looking for external approval. But after engaging with these principles, she made a very concrete choice. Deleted apps that fed her insecurity, started her mornings with focused reading, and the result, according to the source, her grades went up, her peace returned, her joy came back. It's a pretty compelling picture of how that undivided loyalty can create real, tangible change, even in a modern context.
It really is. And this brings us to a foundational concept the source really emphasizes, which is that this whole process, this inner clarity or spiritual cleansing, as they call it, it begins with surrender. They use a great analogy, actually. They say, you can't fill a dirty cup with clean water and expect it to taste right.
Mm.
So the pursuit, from their perspective, it has to start with emptying yourself first. And this isn't presented as condemnation, more like a call to, well, profound transformation.
That's a great metaphor, the dirty cup. So this idea of emptying the cup through surrender, that sounds like a critical first step. But what do you think is the biggest hurdle for people after that? Once they've kind of committed to that surrender, what tends to pull them away from that focused pursuit?
Well, that's exactly what the source gets into next. It identifies what they term the enemies of wholehearted pursuit. They also bring in some biblical references here to underscore the point, like Jeremiah 29:13, which says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." And James 4:8, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners." The core idea the source seems to draw from these, you know, setting aside the specific spiritual origin for a moment, is that genuine engagement, whether it's with a belief system or a new habit or maybe a challenging personal goal, it often starts with an act of humble dedication. They share this story of Pastor Delroy in Jamaica. His church introduced a weekly hour of just silent worship and scripture meditation. And what was observed, according to the source, wasn't just people sitting quietly. It was members weeping, confessing, and then returning the next week with renewed purpose, feeling cleansed. The difference, they suggest, was that wholehearted pursuit of clarity in the silence.
That connection between silence, looking inward, and then finding renewed purpose, that's incredibly insightful, regardless of how you frame it, spiritually or otherwise. So what specifically does the source actually identify as the main obstacles, the things that get in the way of that kind of deep commitment? I know I can certainly relate to feeling my focus pulled, you know, in lots of different directions.
Absolutely. And the podcast is pretty honest about these enemies of wholehearted pursuit, as they call them.
Right.
They list five main distractions that can really pull us off course. First up, there's digital overload. That constant stream, right?
Mm-hmm.
Social media, notifications, without clear boundaries.
Yeah, definitely feel that one.
Then, unforgiveness. Mm. Because as they explain it, a heart holding onto grudges just can't fully chase after anything with true commitment. It's like a blockage.
Mm.
Next is double-mindedness. The source links this to James 1.8, highlighting the instability it causes when you're pulled in two directions at once. They also mention comfort zones, you know, that preference for sticking with what's familiar instead of embracing the discipline of new, maybe challenging habits.
The path of least resistance.
Exactly. And finally, noise. And not just like loud external sounds, but that inner busyness, that mental chatter that can drown out deeper thoughts or intentions.
Yeah, those inner distractions can definitely be the loudest sometimes. And it's so easy to slip into those comfort zones or just get lost in all the noise. Feels very real. So what practical spiritual cleansing tip, as they call it, does the source offer to help identify and maybe overcome these enemies?
Well, the tip they offer is actually incredibly practical, quite simple. Begin each day asking, Lord, what's standing in the way today? Now, even if you take the Lord part out, the principle is about intentionality, right? Starting the day by consciously identifying potential roadblocks, it helps spot those subtle enemies before they really take hold. And we see this kind of courage illustrated in the story of Ravi, a 14-year-old from Kerala, India, that they share. He apparently used to hide his Bible, worried about what his friends would think, fearing mockery. But after hearing a local pastor teach on principles from Psalm 119, his pursuit shifted. He boldly brought his Bible to school. And according to the source, this actually led to a small group forming, meeting weekly. His journey went from fear to what they describe as faith. It really shows how addressing those hidden comfort zones and the noise of peer pressure can lead to pretty incredible transformation.
These global stories certainly drive home the source's point about universal application. What strikes me, though, is how different the starting challenges are. You know, anxiety in one case, peer pressure in another. Does the source get into why this wholehearted pursuit seems to be such a consistent solution across such varied contexts?
That's a good question. While the source doesn't really delve deep into the specific psychological why for each individual case, it consistently links the success back to the act of undivided commitment itself. Like, that focus is the powerful thing, almost regardless of the external situation. They offer quite diverse examples, too. In Nigeria, there's a grandmother named Grace who apparently spends 2 hours every day in prayer for her family. That's her commitment. Then there's a nurse in Trinidad who, during a health crisis, recites Psalm 119 aloud before each shift, finding strength in that focused engagement with the text.
Wow.
And in Greece, a former club owner, after engaging with these ideas, reportedly just gave up his nightlife entirely, found his values shifting. What really stands out across these different stories is that the context changes dramatically. But the core principle, that undivided loyalty, that commitment, it stays constant. It's not always about huge, grand gestures for everyone. Sometimes it's about integrating this focused pursuit into daily life, whether that's through consistent dedication like Grace, or finding strength in specific practices like the nurse, or making really profound life changes like the club owner. It really underscores that this wholehearted approach seems applicable in countless situations and can bring about pretty significant personal change.
So we've covered quite a bit of ground in this wholehearted pursuit deep dive. We've looked at defining undivided loyalty, the need for surrender, identifying those common enemies of focus, and hearing some of those inspiring global examples. We started off by asking if you've ever felt divided, you know, pulled between different demands or desires. So thinking about all this, what does this deep dive spark in your thinking about true focus and commitment? The source material offered a reflection prompt, and I'd like to reframe it a bit for you listening. Perhaps you might consider three areas where your own focus, or let's say heart, feels divided right now. What might it look like to bring a more wholehearted approach to those aspects of your life based on what we've unpacked today? Just something to think about.
Yeah, and the devotional thought of the day from the source material offers a really profound conclusion, I think. It says, the more you make room for this wholehearted pursuit, the more it fills it with peace. And it really suggests that this approach, this wholeheartedness, regardless of the specific spiritual framing, it can genuinely lead to cleansing, to healing, and renewal in your life, which I think raises a really important question for all of us, doesn't it? In a world that's just full of distractions, full of divided loyalties, how can we intentionally cultivate a more focused, a more wholehearted approach to the things that truly matter to us? Something to mull over, definitely. We'd encourage you to keep exploring these ideas for yourself.